Why are you going to say something? I heard you.
I'm saying nothing.
Oh. Sorry, about what specifically? I just kind of joined, so.
Oh, I mean, well, there's all sorts of drama.
Hello.
Like, we got raided slightly.
How's your extremely attractive mother?
You know, I've thought it, but I didn't say anything about it.
Wait, what?
Maya's mom is hot, and they're trying to be like, that means Maya's a liar, because she hid her hot mom from us. We had a right to know how hot her mom was.
I don't think that's an argument they're actually making.
I can't actually...
X, have you seen Orange is the New Black?
Yes. Yes, I made a biblically accurate Orange is the New Black, where, like, 5 of the 12 people are the trans woman.
Okay, so, Red, the Russian chick... Doesn't Maya's mom kind of look like a younger version of Red?
I could see it. Yeah.
I said this to Anna, and I'm pretty sure Anna just stared like, what the fuck is this guy on about?
Well, that isn't Red Captain Janeway? Is that the same person?
Yeah.
I don't think that's Captain Janeway looks like Maya's mom, but then I'd...
Yeah. But it's like,
I have to look at
it. I don't want to say this to you, Maya, but I'm like, I knew you wouldn't understand the reference because you don't watch TV.
No, Maya's mom, she looks like if Red and Maya's mom were like Russian nesting dolls, and so like Maya's mom would be inside of Red.
Oh God. This is all complimentary because I know you don't get any of the references.
Mate, I say a word.
Yes.
I've seen how much shite this girl has put up with. I mean, and it's absolutely fucking horrendous. And just say, Maya, fair foxy. That's all I want to say. And I'm gonna fuck off now.
But Maya's done an incredible job dealing with
the absolute fucking crap. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've looked at it.
After Maya hard. And Maya's still standing, like, come at me.
Yeah, I don't really care. These are all people who, look, my message is threatening to them.
Yes, it is.
If my message did not threaten them, they would not be doing this. So, honestly, it just shows me that I'm powerful. And
well,
it just makes me more
it's a heads up.
Fuckers.
Game of mine too.
It's a heads up from Ireland. That's all I'm saying.
Usually when a message is threatening me, I kind of feel kind of the opposite. So no offense.
I literally only have one person who comes after me as a troll, and that person comes after everyone.
Oh, I've had a few.
I've had whole campaigns of like entire different groups of people.
There's
countries I don't go to anymore.
I don't get why Chris Rice has a hate boner for me. All I did was post pictures of Chris Farley on his fucking timeline whenever he'd say something to me. Didn't say anything, just posted pictures of Chris Farley in drag.
That's cool. He did. He also did the triple.
Was he a torrid?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I just know I posted pictures of Chris Farley as every response to everything that motherfucker's ever said to me.
Who was the real Chris Farley?
Ah, Jesus, even I know that creep. And I shouldn't do. I mean, come on. Even I know that creep. And I guarantee that we have loads of them over here. They are a pure bundle in themselves.
It's like, how the fuck does one even come to these conclusions is my question. Like, I know there's
because
like
they want to.
Different ways that
it's because they want to.
What exactly was the... I couldn't really figure out what the conspiracy was supposed to be. Like, that they found out that Maya's mom was the head of an organization.
I think I understand that one because I play around in a lot of conspiracy groups.
Like, because
is that they're thinking that Maya was going to be no and or ifs or buts, anti-trans, no and or ifs or buts.
They're grasping at straws.
No, it's not that, guys. It's really, you know what it is? The same person who doxed me doxed my mom years ago. He has a hate boner for her, okay? These people only go after, there are so many GC accounts, so many, tons, but they only dox the ones who they actually feel threatened by, who they actually feel has a chance of shifting the, like,
the thought around this type of stuff.
So they, what's honestly insane to me is that they, so, like, my mom was doxed years ago. Years. And I was doxed months ago, and only recently did they put together the connection. I mean, same last name, like, same city. They literally could have put it together instantly, but clearly estrogen is rotting their minds, rotting their brains, making them slow. It's like, honestly, guys, you're really slacking. Like, everyone who means anything to me, or who has been to any of these conferences, by the way, knows that my mom is my mom. Like Sierra has met my mom.
Like the first thing you told me.
All my D-trans friends know that. Like Helen Joyce, for Christ's sake, knows both me and my mom. Like every single, anyone who is in any way important enough or like, you know, interested enough in this cause to go to a conference knows that my mom is my mom. Like,
and look, you're very lucky to have your man.
Like it's a very, very well-known fact. It's just like, seriously, like,
these
trans activists, they can't stand contending with ideas that they don't like. So they, even though these same conferences are open to them, by the way, fully open to them, anyone can get a ticket to a GenSpec conference or whatever. Anyone can. And we've even had Kinnan McKinnon, who is like the trans man who's doing this like study on detransitioners, right? So she's been at the conference. I'm pretty sure even she knows this, okay? Like, these conferences, before I went public, like, I used my last name at these conferences. I didn't, you know, the pseudonym Poet, this is something that I made for Twitter to sort of distance my private life, you know, from my activism, knowing, I knew full well that this would eventually come out. I knew full well, because these people are vicious and because I was really popular in high school and college. Amongst a bunch of different people who are all super woke. I went to a super woke high school. We had queer history classes that you could take instead of world history classes. And we also had critical theory or critical race theory classes in high school. So I came from a super woke environment. I knew that the second that my story reached a single person who knew me before, all of them would be too woke to hold off on doxing me. I knew this, okay? But, you know, whatever. It's like, am I going to tell the internet when I'm on my period? Am I, like, it's pretty insane that anyone expects me or anyone else to just, like, dox themselves and their family members. Otherwise, they're being dishonest. It's like, no, you trans activists were really slow to the game on this one. And your little stunt is just really good PR because it just shows even more how insane and spirally and conspiracy theory-esque these people are. They've made up so many lies that are so easily disprovable, not just about me or about my mom, but about literally every other person they've doxed. The same person who doxed me and my mom has also doxed many other clinicians in this space, including their fucking underage children. These people are vicious. They are ruthless. So I frankly don't actually, and they're all mentally ill and stupid. So if they call me a fraud, I genuinely don't give a flying fuck. Because these are all people who have legally changed their names to some fucking stupid cross-sex name because they're living a LARP. So they're not being honest about their identities at all. They're changing their sex on all their documents. They've even some changed their social security numbers or their identification to distance themselves from the fact that they were born another sex. So I actually, frankly, don't care what they say because I don't take them seriously. They're all mentally ill. And like, you know, they're just mentally ill. And so like, whatever they say, just kind of like, whatever. I mean, it's good PR. I mean, any exposure is good exposure. The people who hate me will continue to hate me, regardless of what these trans activists say about me. Like, That's the truth. People who have made their minds up about me, who don't like me, are just going to continue to dislike me. And the people who like me and find what I have to say to be valuable are going to continue to believe the same thing regardless of what trans activists say, because they're smart enough to understand that these trans activists are evil lunatics who are not very smart. Like, you don't pull this type of move. You just don't. So it's like, it just... Yeah,
you
like,
know what?
I don't know. It's not a matter of like resilience or whatever. It's just like, yeah, was I a little bit stressed about it in the beginning? Sure.
I was a little bit stressed about it in the beginning.
But then I realized, you know what? Today is the day to turn lemons into lemonade. And I'm getting a ton of exposure. And you know what? These people are trying to knock me down. They are trying to get me to react in some way. They're trying to, you know... They're trying to elicit a reaction out of me. And I'm not going to give them that. I'm just not. They're not worth my time.
Fucking ball.
They are trying to distract from the important advocacy that I'm doing, not just on this page. This page that I'm running is the least important aspect of my advocacy. I help parents. I write long-form content that is not just a bunch of, you know, rage bait and hot takes. It's actually well thought out, well reasoned, well argued pieces that are reference materials for parents who are trying to help their kids through this, or for loved ones who are trying to help their kids through this, as well as broader commentary about the phenomenon. I make original arguments that, you know, I don't see other people making, frankly, and I'm contributing something real to this movement. They are trying to stop me by trying to bait me into some stupid flame war with them so that they can be like, oh, look how cruel she is. Look how transphobic she is. But at the end of the day, it's like we're dealing with petulant toddlers in grown men's bodies, in castrated grown men's bodies. Their hormones are all over the place. They're irrational. They're clearly becoming slow. Like, they should have been on, like, if one of them had been brave enough to confront ideas they didn't like and go to this conference, they would have known. They would have been able to dox me before I even went public with my story. But, like, honestly, the fact that it took them this long is just totally on them. They're being lazy. They're getting slow. They're getting a little defeated. This is, you know, the last breaths of gender ideology. They feel their hegemony, their cultural death grip on our society, just disintegrating. And so they're going to try this, and they have a huge mob behind them. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of the fact that this is so popular, literally just me. All it means is that there's a huge trans mob. There are a lot of people who are very much indoctrinated, and they stick together, by the way. And our side doesn't stick together. Our side wants to argue about stupid terms like, oh, you're not a real detransitioner. You're a desister. Or, oh, you are not. You don't believe the exact same, you don't have the same feminist beliefs that I do, and so therefore you're a grifter. Or, oh, you hold these free speech, controversial spaces where everybody gets to have a say, everyone gets to say what they want to say, and this means that you're kowtowing to the trannies, right? Our side has all of this stupid virtue signaling, and we're already small. Like, the thing is that most people in our Western societies agree with us, but most people who agree with us because they are reasonable. They're not like mentally insane enough to get super involved in these arguments. They agree with us implicitly, but explicitly, they're not so passionate about it because they're like, yeah, this is common sense. But the trans activists, they have a huge, huge mob. And they're all trying to fight to rewrite reality. They will always have a big movement because we've opened Pandora's box, and they're all trying to collude with each other to create this like new reality in which words, you know, have totally alternative meanings, and in which there's no viewpoint in the future, you know, where there's any kind of stable sense of reality. It's postmodernism at its core, because they're the ones trying to rewrite basic facts, and because they will always face resistance to rewriting our basic facts and definitions, they're going to continue to have a big mob. That doesn't make them right. That doesn't make the claims that they make. That doesn't make their conspiracies right. That doesn't make their tactics right. It just means that they are vicious and they are mentally ill, and that ultimately they will bring about their own downfall. I mean, you fuck with enough mama bears who are trying to protect their kids, and you will start to lose your beloved trans rights. Perfect example of that, you know, January Littlejohn literally was talked about on TV by Trump. She was there, and the school tried to socially transition her daughter. They socially transitioned her daughter without her consent, and now she is on the front line of running a movement to expose this absolute bullshit. The dumbest mistake that these trans activists make from the beginning is that they started targeting children, okay? Parents can take the blowback. Like, parents can absolutely, like, if someone is mad at them for not transing their kid, parents frankly don't really care that much. They don't. Because their mission to protect their kid is way more important than what anyone else says about it. Like, it's not, these parents who are skeptics don't, like, they get either they get convinced by the suicide lie, or they have the mental fortitude to be like, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. Like, if you're naturally a skeptic, you're not going to go along with transing your kid. And there are plenty of parents who start out as skeptics, and then they believe the suicide lie because they're kind of too neurotic. They have that like kind of emotional thing about them where they basically get really wrapped up in their emotions. But there are some parents who totally distance themselves. They don't actually care about their kids' emotions that much. They don't really care about all of this scaremongering. It doesn't impact them because they're highly, highly rational. That's the family I come from. Highly, highly, highly rational. Those are the types of parents who protect their kids. Everyone else who's too neurotic ends up going along with transing their kids. And ultimately, if you're the type of parent who is too rational to trans your kid because you ignore the emotional scaremongering, you don't believe it, you're whatever, it doesn't impact you, it doesn't compel your behavior. If you're already that rational, like another parent or even many parents saying, oh, you're horrible, you're evil, you're a bigot, how dare you not trans your kid? That's also not going to convince that parent into transing their kid, right? So that basic understanding really shows us how stupid it is, how strategically bad it is for trans activists to target kids. That's kind of how this whole thing blew up and how people started being very, very skeptical is when all of these kids started getting targeted. Like all these parents, you know, nope, but like the reason why no one even cared really about Jazz Jennings in like 2007, part of the reason why the only people who were commenting negatively about what happened to Jazz in 2007 were religious conservatives. All these liberals were like, oh, these people are crazy. They're bigoted. You know, these people hate gay people. And so they just dismissed the criticism outright. Liberals dismissed the criticism outright. And so it didn't blow up as a culture issue until all of these liberal parents started having their feminine, normal, kind of quirky girls getting caught up in this. And then they were like, oh, wait a second, this is a really big problem. Then, you know, it happened one by one by one by one. And then policies started changing in schools and in institutions to try to collude with this and to hide this from parents. And from the moment that any parent feels that their kid is being targeted, whether they're on our side or whether they're on the trans activist side, they will wage a war. So this was a really strategically bad move on the part of trans activists targeting kids, and they will live to regret it. That's a fact.
Well said, Maya. I agree with you.
Okay, I got a slightly off-topic question. So with all the trans men that you've met, how many of these motherfuckers went with the name Autumn or Skylar? Because that's a big fucking one around here. Like every.
You mean FTMs?
Yes. That's a big fucking Skylar, one around here.
Skylar, yes. Autumn, no. Autumn is more like an MTF name.
But it's like fucking like every third fucking FTM around here goes with the name Skylar or
it's because of Skylar Autumn. 11. You can basically figure out when these trans men came out, when they adopted trans identities based on which names they pick, because just like their identities are socially contagious and their gender dysphoria is socially contagious, the names they pick are also very socially contagious. Like if some FTM calls themselves Skylar, that probably means that they came out as trans in the last years of the 2000s or in the first years of the 2010s. And then the names, the den names, Aiden, Caden, Jaden, Brayden, those names are like sort of 2013, 2014 to like 2017.
It's so unoriginal too.
Oh yeah, because they're all copying each other. Much. Of course it's unoriginal.
Man, it's like, and you look at them, it's like half the time they just fucking, they all look the same too. It's like absolutely fucking, I can't think of more than like maybe three fucking FTMs that I've ever seen, even on the internet, that fucking passed.
Yeah, I mean, some of them passed better than others. I don't know. I mean,
like, Buck is the only one I can think of where I had to look at twice. But Buck
went to Israel, I'm sure that Buck would have no problem passing. Like, the thing with Buck is it's mostly just the height. But, like, you know, I don't know. What really worked in my favor in Israel, I think, is just that I was young. And so that they were willing to believe that a 20-year-old might be able to look like a 15 or 16-year-old. But of course, the older you get, the harder it is for people to buy that. They kind of think twice a little bit more. But it didn't seem to occur to basically any of these people, unless they were like, you know, liberal Tel Avivis, that I might actually be a woman, because that's how conservative and kind of traditionalist culture is. They would never think that someone would do what I was doing. They would have never conceptualized of it. With a man who's wearing a dress, in those societies, that's much easier for those people to tell, oh yeah, this is a man wearing a dress. It's easier for them to tell that, even if it's a super effeminate gay man. It's that they are better at parsing than a woman who's wearing men's clothes, because it's not as much of an eyesore. Like, it doesn't stick out in your face as much. And so it's I guess, easier for those societies to accept. That's what just allowed me to do this for so long, frankly, like, without injecting toxic doses of testosterone into my body, you know, just roiding myself into oblivion. Like, that's the only way, is because I was really young, and so people could kind of suspend their disbelief because they just didn't have a schema for what else why I could look so young, right? Like that. But, yeah, but like for Buck, I feel like Buck would have no problem.
15 for a while, Maya.
Huh?
You look young right now. You're 25. You look like you're 15.
Yeah. I'm well aware.
You're going to look young forever.
Don't worry. That's why I grow the beard, Maya.
It's just me doing a little bit of light teasing.